Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, this is a very, very important topic that we're going to cover today, and I've invited a very special guest to be with me today. Stephanie Payne is on the line. She is a registered nurse for 30 years with an emphasis on home health care and hospice, and she's written a book called The Sandbox Wars, and the website is also thesandboxwars.com. Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, David. It's good to be here with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I, you know, you and I were talking a little before we started the program, like, let's get on the air because there's so much for you and I to talk about. You've written a book based on your own personal experience with dealing with family and money and end-of-life decisions. So give our listeners a quick background on you and your situation and what you've dealt with, and then we'll talk about the book a little bit, and then also give people some good practical advice about the things they need to make sure that their finances and their affairs are in order.
Absolutely. That's great. So what started this process was about 3 years ago. I was the sole support for my mother, who was in her early 90s, and she got sick. And within 48 hours of my telling my estranged siblings that my mother was dying, they hadn't really spoken with my mother for almost 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
They came in, and within 48 hours, we were in the Superior Court putting her under conservatorship so they can get a hold of the money.
Wow.
And I'm going, something's wrong here. And I, you know, we were in litigation for 2.5 years. I have no family left. And I said to myself, this has got to stop. Not just with my family, but with lot. And then I started talking to other families. And because I'd never experienced the whole thing from beginning to end, because as a nurse, I didn't quite see the whole story.
Yeah.
But after, and I started talking with everybody and my patients and friends. Everybody had a story to tell me, and then I started pulling the book together of all the different issues around that, like decision-making, denial, procrastination, you know, arguments, just all kinds of stuff that are addressed in all the... And I tell the book in anecdotes so that it's easy to relate to, but you know, real true stories.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to get my own copy if I don't have one already in my office that you've sent to me. I haven't looked to see if Ellen has it in my office, but I definitely want to read this because I've dealt with this a lot with families and had seen situations like this. The thing with family and money is it's like gasoline on a fire. I mean, the money is this incredible multiplier. It multiplies emotions, strange motivations that it creates.
I was so surprised when what happened with my family was that my siblings had absolutely no concern for the well-being of my mother. And it was just ridiculous that they, you know, had, you know, decided they needed to take control. And that happened so many families. They, you know, I could tell you story after story about stealing and lying and, you know, just coming in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
I've had so many families say, well, my uncle came in the middle of the funeral and took all the, you know, stereo components out of the house.
Nice, real nice.
You know, there's no boundaries with people at this time of life or in death.
Well, it's just, it's staggering the things that people will do. I've seen it in my own personal family. I haven't had to deal with it in my immediate family, but you know, had a cousin that, you know, that is estranged and had taken from the family. I mean, just crazy. So what, I guess there's two parts of this. For the people who are on what I call the back nine of life, the people that are retired, who are, they're getting older, and, you know, this is something that they have to deal with. They have children, they have adult children. What is the best advice you could give to somebody who is thinking about, well, I need to get my will, I got to get my trust, what would you recommend to them, I guess, in terms of beyond the basic documents, what do they need to know or what do they need to plan on?
Well, first of all, they need to get the documents done, because if the documents aren't done, they have an estate plan, but it's usually the estate plan that the state has chosen for
them.
And then, and people really don't want the state coming in and going through. Of course, there's actually extra cost when you go through probate. If you go to an attorney and you get all of your estate plan done, it actually costs like 1/5 of what a probate would cost. I'm not exactly sure of those numbers, but it's significantly less, and yet, you know, people still put it off. So quit denying. My advice is quit denying the inevitable.
You're going to die.
Yeah. And there's no getting out of it. And quit procrastinating. And then the last thing is start the conversation with your family. That's maybe the first thing. Tell them that you're going to get a plan. You know, if they want to participate in, you know, yes, I want the jewelry and this kid wants the artwork or whatever, start the conversation, because a lot of us hide these facts. You know, we get older, we kind of become more inward, and we get a little bit suspicious about people.
Yeah.
And if you start the conversation a little earlier rather than later in life, and you find people that you can trust, then the plan can be a little bit better.
That makes sense to me. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Stephanie Payne. She's an author. She's a registered nurse. You still work as a registered nurse?
I still do,
okay,
yes.
Very good. And so she's seen this from patients and people she's cared for and in her own family, and she wrote the book, The Sandbox Wars, and that's the website as well. Stephanie, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Lots more to talk about. We'll stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, David.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back having a real-world conversation about end-of-life decisions and making sure your estate plans are in order. And you are talking with your family with author, also registered nurse, Stephanie Payne. Stephanie, welcome back.
Thanks, David.
Listen, this is just so critical. You talked about having, before the break, the conversation. So there's kind of, I guess, a quick checklist. Yeah, get your documents in order. Make sure you get the right documents. Make sure you're working with, of course, a very competent attorney. If you're working with a planner, make sure the two of them are talking. Make sure everybody's on the same page. I routinely talk to attorneys about, I've read more trusts and wills than probably that I need to for the rest of my life. But, and so have all that, but then make sure that the family knows what the plan is, because where some of the difficulties start to arise, and I've seen this, is when the family doesn't know. The family doesn't know what the plan is. They then assume that somebody's been up to something, or that somebody has convinced somebody. The word that the attorneys use is influence. And there's all sorts of suspicions, as you said, that get created. And if mom and dad or mom has had the conversation, says, here's exactly what's going to happen, then they already know. And of course, the reason mom and dad don't want to do that is they don't want to hurt people's feelings, or they don't want to have that conversation, but you got to have it.
One of the things that's so important about all of this, David, is that we forget in doing all this preparation that we're actually creating a legacy. And this has actually nothing to do with money or things. It actually has to do with the family. Think of families, and I'm sure you have some examples too, of families that have gone through these horrible things, and there's no family left. So
yeah.
You work all your life, you raise your children, and you don't finish, I call it the last vacation, you know, the preparation and getting, you know, we talk about vacation, and let's go to the, you know, Disney World and pack the bags and get the air flight, but we don't do that for the end of life, and we don't start that vacation early enough and have the conversation about creating it to be a really good event rather than something that literally destroys not only the money, but the family, like, becomes, you know, angry and they don't talk anymore forever.
Is that what happened for you?
That's what happened for me.
That's
and
really
a lot
sad.
Of other families. Yeah. I
so
had no family left.
It's gone. Yeah. It's complete estrangement. There's no, boy.
I would not trust them with anything in my estate planning, let's put it that way.
Wow.
I would not give them any authority or any advocacy.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty
well,
scary.
That's
yeah.
very scary. Well, and you know, the thing that I've seen also is there's a lot of ignorance, and I'm not saying dumb, but there's a lot of mm-hmm. ignorance that people have about what to do. And I share with you another book I'm going to write is about helping people with what they need to be prepared for. And I think your book also can really open people's eyes about the things they need to prepare for. I had a gentleman come in just the other day, Stephanie, that he came in. He asked me for some guidance, and I started talking to him about, well, what have you done? What do you got? What, you know, and long story short, he's got a very significant estate, but he's terrified of giving too much to his children because mm-hmm. he doesn't want to ruin them mm-hmm. in his mind. And there's been no conversation, and he is, you know, trying to find a solution. And his solution right now is very simple. And it basically depends on his giving most of his money to charities.
And
I'm
like,
well,
great idea. Yeah.
It's a good idea to give money to charities, but he's doing it so he doesn't give too much to the children because he doesn't want to ruin them, but then he doesn't give the money to the kids. I mean, it's like, well, wait a minute. And that is born out of not his wanting to cheat his kids out of money. It's born out of his not understanding the full capabilities of what he can do with trusts and, you know, delayed payments and giving money to people over
right.
time and how a trustee works and all this stuff. And so people really need to spend the time and get engaged in the process of figuring out how to, as you said, make this a long vacation, how to make this something that they have prepared for, and they've had that conversation.
Absolutely. I talk about the sandbox wars in front of groups, and it's always about getting this conversation. You know, like you said, they can write a trust to do anything you want to do. I don't know that much about them, but I have read several myself.
Oh, yeah.
And you could make a trust do anything, which is so amazing.
It is.
But it stops the wars. It stops the family feuds. Because it is, in the way I look at this, this is a gift, and that's the subtitle of my book. All of these decisions are actually a gift to your family, because if you are astute enough to make these decisions for yourself and your family, it not only protects you, it protects your family and your estate. It's a win-win-win.
Well, and that's the key, is that you can do them an enormous favor of having it all put together, all organized, all structured. And I've had this conversation with my parents, and they've got it all, you know, pretty much dialed in and put together, and I know exactly what the way it's going to work and what they want done, and, you know, it just makes it so much easier. I've got a brother, and there's going to be no fighting. There's not going to be anything, because we know the deal, and it's very clear.
And your parents had that conversation at some point with
you. They did, and they said, if you want something, you know, you need to let us know, and it turned into a joke that my brother and I were, well, you know, we're going to, you know, get a magic marker and write our names on the bottom of everything, and it got to the point where I said, that's fine, I'm going to lift up the corner of the house and write my name underneath the foundation, and but it's that, and it's like, look, I don't, you know, let's talk about it. What do you want? What do I want? And, you know, it's just being willing to have the conversation.
Most of us are afraid to have this conversation about death, and, you know, I could give you a million reasons why people don't, but they just don't. I mean, they just refuse to think that their life is ever going to come to an end, and they're just not being realistic about it. And I've had people on their deathbed tell me, you know, they're not ready to die.
Yeah.
And I just don't quite get how, you know, I've been doing this, you know, like I said, for 30 years.
Yeah.
And this denial, we need to stop.
We really do. We really do.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take another short break, Stephanie. We'll come back. Stephanie Payne is our guest. The Sandbox Wars is the name of the book and the website. We'll come back. I want to talk about a very unfortunate and often not talked about area, which is elder abuse.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're with Stephanie Payne. She's our guest. She's an author. She's an RN. She's written the book, The Sandbox Wars, and that's also the website, all about what happens when families can be literally torn apart and the difficulties with family and money. Now, another element to this that I alluded to before the break is elder abuse. How can family, how can friends identify if there's elder abuse going on, either with a caregiver or even, sadly, with family?
Well, first of all, most of the time, David, the abusers are family members or somebody that they know.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's almost a universal, you know, phenomenon.
What makes somebody do that? What makes a child is it usually a child that does it?
Probably most often a child. It can be neighbors that come in. And there's all different kinds of elder abuse. There's physical abuse.
Yeah.
There's emotional abuse. There's coercion. There's neglect. There's stealing from them. There's, you know, obviously, and then there's even sexual abuse with elders.
Wow.
And there's real hidden symptoms. I just wrote an article about that. It's not always the bruises. It's if you see an elderly person and they cower, if you like, you raise your voice to them, you know, I would suspect elder abuse.
Wow.
I had a lady was telling me a story about her sister came in and, you know, she actually wanted to take this disabled lady's checkbook, and she actually slapped her.
Really?
I felt like just screaming inside. I couldn't believe that a sibling would hurt her own disabled sister. And she did take her checkbook.
Wow.
And so there was no bruise, really, just a little, you know, you really couldn't see it, but if this person had not told me the story, I wouldn't have known about it. And it's very pervasive, depending on which, if you put all of these abuses together, it's probably you have about a you know, at least a 50-50 chance of having something like this happen to you.
Well, so if you suspect this, either as a friend, neighbor, other family member, what do you recommend that people do?
Well, every state has an elder abuse hotline.
Okay.
And it's listed on the internet. Type in your local state elder abuse hotline, and there's a toll-free number. And if you suspect it, you do not have to have an actual witness of it, but if you suspect it, it needs to be reported, and they will investigate.
And you remain anonymous.
And the reporter remains anonymous.
Okay.
I have certainly hotlined many people in my day for all kinds of abuses, and you know it is anonymous. Mm-hmm. But as a nurse, I'm actually obligated to do it. But a lot of people are afraid. They think that, you know, they're going to be, you know, they'll know who it was, and it's not usually that case.
Well, and the obvious other thing is that the person being abused is not reporting it because they are, you know, it's a little bit of the devil you know versus, you know, the devil you don't. They may be afraid of consequences from the abuser or that they'll be abandoned in some way. And
all of those are different kinds of abuses.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. There's so many different kinds of elder abuse. You know, we need to be protected when we're children, and we need to be protected when we're old.
When we are helpless, somebody needs to help us.
And that's why it's so good to have a plan, because in case my mother's case, and in several other cases I'm familiar with, if you have a person who's like your durable power of attorney, they can come in and help you write the checks and make some medical decisions or financial decisions for you.
I just had that conversation with one of my clients where they are going through one of them is experiencing cognitive impairment and decline, and we went through that exact conversation, Stephanie, about, okay, let's talk about power of attorney. Who's got it? Who's back up? How does this work? Let's get it all. Make sure that you're going to be able to have things. And what if the one who is in good shape, what if that person, something happens to them? Who's their backup?
And the other thing really important is for just the listeners, what if all of a sudden you don't have these documents, you develop a dementia, and then you can't sign these documents
exactly,
for yourself?
Exactly.
And oh my gosh, that leaves so many vulnerable things open for all kinds of stuff that we've been talking about. Because if you don't sign these documents early and have these conversations early, the longer you put it off, the more likely you are going to have one of these different types of elder abuse occur.
Mm-mm-mm. Stephanie, you're opening everybody's eyes and or at least their ears to the realities of the world we live in. The book is The Sandbox Wars. The website is by the same name. Put a .com on the end. Stephanie Payne, author and RN. And we're going to take one more short break. Stephanie, come back. We'll talk about some of the psychology here of why people refuse to make decisions about their legacy plans.
Great. Thank you.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back with Stephanie Payne. Stephanie, why do people refuse to make decisions? What's the psychology? Is it by not doing so, they think that'll, you know, cheat death in some way? Or, I mean, what is it, just not dealing with the reality? What is it?
Well, first of all, not making a decision is a decision. We all know that.
There you go.
We're making decisions by not making decisions. But I think about this gentleman named George, and he was a fairly wealthy man. He made hundreds of decisions a day about his business, but when it came to taking his estate in line, he just kept putting it off and putting it off until he developed dementia. So he was in denial and denial and denial and procrastination. Those are the two biggest. And then all of a sudden, there was nothing. You know, he was completely mentally incapable. And no decisions had been made.
Well, and you know, I again see a lot of the financial side. I had a client one time that I was trying to help, and to make a very long story short, we had made some recommendations, and he ended up, you know, putting them off, never did them, and then he died, and then the kids came in with the actual proposal and recommendations and said, please tell us that Dad did this. and I said, Dad did not, and it literally cost the family a couple $1 million.
Oh, easily.
Sometimes I struggle, and I can jump on the couch here myself here for a second. I struggle sometimes because, you know, there's a balancing between pushing people too hard. I see what can go wrong and where they're headed, and it's like, it's hard sometimes to hit people between the eyes with a 2x4, you know what I mean? It's like, you need to make these changes, you need to get this stuff fixed, and they just don't want to do it.
And that's why I wrote the book, because I thought one of the biggest problems was people were having trouble making decisions.
Mm.
At one point in the case I was looking with, there were 5 attorneys involved.
Wow.
In settling an estate because the family hadn't done their work, hadn't prepared for their vacation, so to speak. 5 attorneys all came out of the estate, you know, all that money, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know exactly what that's about. That's bad. It's bad.
It's really sad. You know, and who wants that? And of course, the fighting, and then the family doesn't talk to each other, and there's that no gifts again. You know, the family can be destroyed in just a matter of months.
What legacy is there? The money is money, but the legacy of any family is the relationships and the memories that the children have, and that's that's what it all comes back to, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Stephanie, I could talk to you for hours. We'll have to have you come back again.
Great.
Stephanie Payne has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen, author and RN and a real-life liver and experiencer of this stuff we've been talking about with her own family, thesandboxwars.com. I'm definitely going to read your book, and I'm looking forward to it, Stephanie. And thank you again for being on the program.
Thank you, David. It was wonderful.
All right. My pleasure.
Thanks. Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.